This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thanks for being here this afternoon. We want to get an update on Douglas Cares. Sarah Wickersham is the Executive Director. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Kyle.
So, first of all, talk about CARES from the perspective of how your organization is funded.
Yeah. So Douglas Cares, as a reminder to all of our community members out there, we are a state-mandated service. We take care of kids when there's been suspicions of abuse or neglect in the home. Our services are required to be provided. But like other people who provide services like ours, like the police or the DA's office or child welfare, we don't have any guaranteed state funding. So we get about a couple of state and federally managed grants each year that are not competitive. That's about a third of our operating budget. Another third comes from the billings. We're able to bill health insurance for some of the services that we provide. And then the last third comes from generous donations, little tiny grants that we write piecemeal throughout the year. Some of them are as small as $5,000. And sometimes we just have fundraisers that we ask our community members to help support our mission.
So that seems like a lot of time has to be spent just keeping track of that piece of things.
Yeah, it is a pretty big time commitment. We have a full-time grant writer who looks for these opportunities throughout the year and puts together sometimes very complicated applications to put this put these funding requests out into the world.
So go ahead and scoot up a little closer to the microphone there. The when you talk about the aspect of the portion of funding you get from the state, I know you had some concerns last week as the legislature was rolling through on their frenzied pace the last week.
Yeah. So child advocacy centers in Oregon and Oregon Child Abuse Solutions have been working together for the last five or so years, trying to get some legislative funding, some funding right into the Oregon state budget that is specifically for child advocacy centers and the work that we do. 2 years ago, our lawmakers passed a bill that put in $6 million for all of the state child advocacy centers. Our portion of that was about $200,000. And this last cycle, we were asking for that again. And we had a lot of really exceptional support from our lawmakers, from Representative Reynolds and Representative Kropp, Senator Knopp, Representative Anderson, Representative Breece Iverson, Representative Neron, and Representative Javadi. Senator David Brock Smith was also a huge supporter of our cause. And they worked really hard to get this pushed through this year as well. It's still a one-time funding option, again, the $6 million. Through some errors, it didn't make it into the regular legislative session, and then these amazing legislators were able to pull together an emergency session and correct that error, and it passed almost miraculously on Sunday. So our funding bill is secure. It does provide us a cushion for this coming year, and makes it so that we don't have to cut out some services that we have been providing over the last couple of years. This still isn't a full-time fix. This is still just a one-time funding bill. So we continue to seek a line item in the Oregon state budget to fund child advocacy centers. But for now, we are just incredibly grateful to our lawmakers for pushing this through.
And going into a new fiscal year at the end of the week, you've got to have at least a somewhat of a sense of relief.
Yes, we very much have a sense of relief at this point. We had just about finalized our budget for the coming year. In nonprofit work, that's months of calculations and trying to anticipate things that you can't really guarantee throughout the year. We had just finalized it, and then we heard that this wasn't coming, and we had to go back to the drawing board and redo the budget. But at this point, we're back to our original budget. We have a little bit of a cushion. We were even able to offer a small cost of living increase for our incredibly dedicated employees. So we're fairly comfortable, provided a lot of things come through the way we anticipate this year.
So what would the impact have been if this wouldn't have all got worked out in the waning days of the legislative session?
So the the most important things that we did with this money the last time it came through was we were able to expand our services. We were able to put more office hours into our Canyonville office so that we could take care of kids in South County in their community. We were able to purchase a car so that we could transport our children to and from appointments so that, you know, a lot of times our families are not able to make it to appointments, and without our help, they just don't get services. So that helps us improve access. We onboarded a few new providers this year, and there's always a period of time where the company has to shell out funds to help to bring these people aboard and to train them and all of those kinds of things, and we wouldn't be able to do that. We're hoping to hire a couple of more providers this year, and we wouldn't have been able to do that without these funds. So we were going to have to restrict our services, restrict access a bit.
Are you still seeing an increased need for the services you provide?
We are. We're seeing an interesting increase in the needs, and some of them is just our ability to expand services helps us capture some more of the need. But otherwise, you know, we're going to be healing from some of the isolation that our kids have gone through and our poorer families have gone through for the last 2 years, for many years into the future. And we're still feeling those impacts. We're still helping families pick up the pieces after these things happen. And we're still seeing the increase, yes.
I think for a lot of families just in, you know, more easy circumstances, getting through a pandemic was pretty rough. And then if you take other underlying issues or abuse or situations like that, during the time of social isolation, it was much harder for contact to be made, for reports mm-hmm. to be made, for even sometimes victims to be able to access help.
Yeah, absolutely. It was very difficult for those of us in the helping profession to have eyes on to families. But it's also really important to remember that even good parents get stressed out. Even good parents turn to things that aren't very healthy to help them through difficult times. And in those cases, we saw increases in the times when kids would experience hurt at the hands of their parents or neglect because their parents turned to substances or were unable to parent for other reasons.
And do you find that attracting staff is hard in this type of rural area?
Yes. Attracting staff to our little tiny community can be a challenge. I love it here. I think the community here is so supportive and warm and welcoming. It's a wonderful place to be and to work, but it is very small, and at times it's difficult. Because it's difficult, there are a lot of us competing for qualified providers in this community, and that drives up wages, and as a small nonprofit, that makes it more challenging for us to be able to offer what would be needed in order to attract really qualified people to our community.
And for people that are available to provide the various services you have, are you seeing kind of in the industry, if you want to use that term, are you seeing just it harder in general to attract people? Some people during the pandemic sought other types of work.
Yeah, I do see that. I think we might be coming to the end of that, but for sure, we all experienced stress. We all experienced hardship in our personal lives, and having the personal resilience to go into the storm that a child is experiencing in child abuse and to try and help them through that is a big ask. And we need to really have our own lives okay in order to be able to have the strength to do that work. So when those of us professionals were stressed, it was harder for us to go into this work. I think we're coming back.
All right, going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. Sarah Wickersham with Douglas Cares. Interview a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM, 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson at 1, David Littlejohn with True Wealth Radio, part of KQEN Local Talk at 4. Tomorrow, Riverbend Live getting started on Friday night. First performer this year, Grammy-nominated Amethyst Kia, will be with us via phone. She's making her way across the country, played on the East Coast, if I recall correctly, last weekend, and coming to Riverbend Live on Friday night. So Amethyst Kia on Inside Douglas County tomorrow. Sarah Wickersham in here today from Douglas Cares, Executive Director. Remind me, how long have you been leading that organization?
Well, this Friday will be my 2-year anniversary. So.
And what was your background before that?
Before I came to Douglas Cares, I was the treatment director at the Douglas County Juvenile Department Residential Treatment Programs. Those largely, mostly cared for foster kids, foster teens who had enough behavioral challenges that they were not safe to live in the community. So we worked with those kiddos and helped them come to a place where they could graduate and go into a lower level of care.
And it sounds like you've been in this sort of arena for a number of years.
Yes, I've been working with low-income families, with children, with a lot of child welfare and foster care involvement for 15, 16 years now, back in with mental health and with Head Start, a lot of different places that I've covered.
So remind people what all these services are that Douglas Care provides.
So child advocacy centers are common across the nation. There's we hope for one per county. It doesn't quite work out to that. And child advocacy centers provide forensic interviewing where a child can tell their story about whatever happened to them. Forensic medical exams where we can have a trained medical provider look at the child's body and look for physical signs of the abuse or the neglect or sometimes child sex abuse. We have family advocacy services to help the family through the courtroom process or the child welfare transition processes, things like that. And then we also have a whole team of mental health providers who take care of the long-term trauma treatment. Because we are a really small rural center, we have some special partnerships with DHS, and we provide services that other child advocacy centers don't. We do CANS assessments. We partner with Healthy Kids Outreach Program to offer dental exams. We do well child exams when children are transitioning through different foster care organizations. We do skills training, and we do family case management as well.
It seems like part of this is certainly very, I guess a nice word would be gritty work.
That is a nice word. It can be gritty. It can be challenging. We are often in the lives of people at their lowest moments, and it can be very challenging work. The piece that keeps me going, and I think that keeps most of my team going, is that we know that when we're there, we can make a difference. Even if it's just a smile, even if it's just a safe place for 20 minutes, that helps set a precedent, and it helps teach a skill, and it helps bridge that child from what they're going through now into the future. And that's the part that keeps us being able to do this work.
And I would think as well, the challenging part could also be the fact that these types of situations that you're dealing with are not always, in fact, probably rarely, easily solved and require a lot of help in the, you know, for a long term.
Yeah, one of my favorite mentors used to tell me it takes 3 generations to go from convict to congressman, meaning that what we're really looking at here is generational circumstances. It happened with grandma and grandpa's family. It happened with mom and dad's family. The little ones are being hurt now, and they're going to grow up, and there's going to be some impact on their children as well. And you don't change things like that in a single session or a single few months of therapy. It takes long-term concerted effort on the part of the family and their own drive to succeed, and on the part of our whole community who is really willing to wrap around them and help lift them up while they're going through that process.
So working in these different agencies in the county for as long as you have, I suppose there are success situations that you see where maybe you're encountering somebody down the road when your staff that worked with you helped them in the past, and you can see the improvement they've made in their lives.
Yes, that is the best part of our work. Yes, we worked with a kiddo about 5 years ago when they were just entering high school, and I was at my own son's graduation this last June, I guess at the beginning of this month, and her name got called, and she graduated high school, and they talked about the honors that she was receiving and the college she was going into. Obviously, I can't share details, but you know, we get to encounter those kids later on in their journey, and we get to feel that there was an impact, that there was change, and that they're going to go on to be something bigger and more, and they're going to carry that through into their own children's lives.
Do you ever see amongst people, you know, maybe not necessarily on your current staff, but people that you've worked with in this field, do you ever see people that get into it because they were victims at some point, at some level in their past?
Yeah, I think that's much more common than maybe all of us would like to advertise. I personally share that story. And part of the reason that I got into this work was to make it, to help share the message that we are not broken, that we can improve, we can live normal, healthy lives, we can be successful. And that means that every family that we work with has the potential to be me tomorrow.
So it's got to feel good.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the financial piece again for a moment. As you get into the new fiscal year, how are things looking overall?
So we have a lot of grants that we're writing for. We have kind of budgeted for them. We're not entirely certain that they'll come through. We are always seeking donations and support, and the more donations we get, the more we can expand. We have like contingency budgets, so we can bring in another provider if we get another donation in this amount. So we are seeking donations. If our community is willing to help us, you can always go on our website and hit that donate button. We're going to be sending out ask letters this year. It's been a few years since we did that for our community members, because we didn't want to overburden anyone going through hardships with the pandemic. We're ready to make our case for our community again, and for the work that we do for all of our children.
And as you are working with these kids, I noticed that you've got something coming up next month. Talk about this Foster Fun Day.
Foster Fun Day is an annual event that Douglas Cares has been doing for, I think, 8 years. We put this this kind of carnival-style event on each year for kiddos who are either under the supervision of child welfare. Sometimes we have families in-home safety plans, which is usually the best plan because they get to stay with their parents, but they get the supervision and the extra supports, and also children who are in foster care in out-of-home placements. It's a carnival style. We have a lot of vendors who come, and they bring prizes for the kids. There's free food. Lots of fun. We're having that at Stewart Park this year on the 29th, July 29th, and that's from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. We hope to see you there.
And what about other things that you're doing for kids over the summer?
We're selling Summerfest movie punch cards. They're $10 each. There's about a $15 value for that. It like gets you into some of the Douglas movies for free. Well, I mean, after the purchase of the card, it's 10 movies that you can pick up over the summer. It's a really great thing for kids and families to do, inexpensive fun, and it benefits us as well. So we would appreciate if you can come on down to the office and pick up a few more of those.
Now, how many staff do you have currently?
We currently have 16 staff members. All but three of those are full-time.
And do you anticipate, or are you hoping to add more?
Yes, we are hoping to add one more therapist, full-time therapist. We are opening up an internship program for therapy this fall, so we'll have a therapy intern practicing at our site. We are also working on expanding our medical internship so that we can have a medical intern learning some child abuse medicine alongside our team there. And then once we get all those therapists, we'll need at least one more skills trainer and maybe a case manager. We'll see if my case manager can handle it.
So how does your board work?
We have 8 members on our board. They're working in many different avenues of the community, bank management, retired educators, the DA is on our board. We have an advocate from Peace at Home who is able to really speak with the voice of experience and with minority background. We have another educator, another lawyer, and they all meet regularly to help kind of keep us connected to the community, help us find avenues to increase advocacy within the community, and help us set our mission and guide our policies as we do this work.
So if people want to find out more about Douglas Cares or maybe get involved financially, what's your website?
We are at douglascares.org, and you can find information about Foster Fun Day and the Summerfest movie punch cards, as well as the donation button there on the website.
Sarah Wickersham from Douglas Cares, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.